भगवद्गीता 3.10 सहयज्ञः प्रजा सृष्ट्वा पूरोवाच प्रजापतिः अनेन प्रसविष्यध्वम् एष वो स्वैष्टकामधूक् सहयज्ञः विद् सैक्रिफाइस प्रजा सृष्ट्वा
द
प्रजा वाज क्रिएटेड पूरोवाच प्रजापतिः पुर उवाच इट वाज सेड प्रजापतिः प्रजापति कैन रेफर टू द ब्रह्मा टू विष्णु We'll discuss that. Anena prasavishyadvam. With this prasavishyadvam. Prosper. Eshavostvaishta kamadhuk. Let this be your kamadhuk, your desire fulfilling cow. So from this verse onwards, Krishna is talking about the principle of sacrifice and its historical origin at the start of creation. So it is coexistent with creation. So what exactly is Krishna saying over here? That Saha Yajnaha. Yajna was created along with Srishtva. Saha Yajna Praja Srishtva Praja. That which is born. Now in vernacular often Praja is used to refer to the citizens. The population. That is true. But etymologically it refers to those who are born. So, Saha Yajna Praja Srishtva. So, when all living beings were created, at that time Yajna was created with them. This is an interesting concept. One of the many problems with reductionistic or atheistic ideas of the origins of life and origins of everything, especially, is that there are so many life forms. And they often require different kinds of nourishments. So the life forms are present and their nourishments are also present. Now, the reductionist attitude would be that only those life forms developed and survived for which there are proper food there. That is true, but that doesn't still explain how that food came about and how that those life forms came about. And even if we were able to reconstruct an explanation like that, still a more fundamental question would remain that actually there is a fine-tuned mechanism in this universe by which the necessities of all living beings are provided for. So who is the provider and what is the mechanism by which these things are provided for? So Krishna is here talking about that mechanism, and he is saying that actually everything is ultimately provided for by his arrangement. Now, Esha Vostu Ishta Kamadhuk, let this be your desire fulfilling cow. Now, how exactly can Yajna be a desire fulfilling cow? What does it mean actually? To understand that part, let's look at the principle again of what it means to say that there is a desire fulfilling cow. It simply means that actually there is no... Now the idea of kama dhuk, that there is a... First of all, let's look at what that term means in general and then specific in this context. The cow is considered a very sacred animal in Vedic culture, and among the many reasons, the most important is that the cow is very dear to Krishna. Krishna is a person, and as a person he has his likes and dislikes. He has his preferences. So one of his preferences is a cow. And because Krishna loves cows, those who love Krishna also love cows. So naturally Vedic culture also is... centered around, it gives a due place to the cow. Further, the cow provides his milk, just as our mother provides his milk. And we are nourished by cow's milk, similar to how a mother nourishes. And in that sense also, the cow is special. Now going further, there are some very potent cows, which are not available now, which are kamadhuk. So these are rare cows which can be obtained with by those who can perform great tapasyas and those who can appease the gods. And then these are kamadhuk, whatever is required that can come from that cow. So for example, Vashishtha Rishi in the Ramayana had that kind of cow. And that's why Vishwamitra, when he was a king earlier, Kaushika, at that time when he saw that, oh, this sage has something which I don't have, and this sage is able to, I have brought my full army here, and this sage is so easily feeding the full army, something which would have been very difficult for me also to do. So he felt so impressed by it that he desired to have that for himself. And how could he get it? So he tried to order and take it, because he saw that the cow could produce anything and everything, all kinds, all varieties of food, not just milk. And he tried to grab the cow, and Vashishtha, being a sage, did not raise force to stop it. At that, the cow became distressed and said, "Why are you letting me go? Have I displeased you anyway?" He says, "No, no, you have served me very well." But he says, "I cannot raise weapons against a king. I am a Brahmana." He says, "You just order me to protect, to stop him, and I will do the stopping. I am waiting for your orders." He says, "Okay, so okay, protect yourself." And immediately from his from the cow's body, great soldiers appeared, formidable warriors with arms and armors. And then they crushed Kaushik's forces, and then they had, those forces had routed and had to flee. So, kamadhok, a cow, is something which can produce everything, especially when that cow is special in terms of being a kamadhok. Now, today's logical skeptical mind may consider such a cow to be just a product of mythological imagination. But the point is that we don't even know exactly how things are produced in nature. We try to replicate it, but still there is a mystical element to it which is not entirely removable. Einstein said there are two ways of looking at the world. One is to see a thing as a miracle, and the other is to see everything as a miracle. So, it is a miraculous thing that just the mud on the ground can be converted into mangoes, and the grass on the ground can be converted into milk. So the inconceivable ability of God, when God empowers certain beings for certain particular functions, those beings do those functions. And still the fact that they are able to do those functions are itself amazing if we think of it with a open mind, and don't let the familiarity take the mystery out of it. Just because something happens regularly doesn't make it less mysterious, less astonishing. So just because there are so many mango trees which produce mangoes, yeah, it's ordinary in the sense that it occurs regularly, but still it's extraordinary in the sense of the magical transformation that is happening. So the same God who has made that the kind of things happen through certain systems can supersede those systems, or can put multiple systems into one mechanism. So an ordinary cow can eat grass and produce milk, but an extraordinary cow, a cow like a kamdhuk with mystical powers, can, by the arrangement of Lord, have multiple mechanisms integrated, and that way can produce multiple things. So rather than seeing these things as impossible from the mechanical point of view, we look at them as possible from the point of view of the person who has made all these mechanisms. And that way we can avoid it doesn't have to be actually something which we have to be too skeptical about. Now, yajna is similarly a kamadhuk, because yajna is to be done for the purpose and the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. So, when we do yajna, that is a means by which we please Lord Vishnu, and He is the fulfiller of all desires. So, when we please Him through the performance of yajna, then that is a mechanism which has been created for human beings to activate the higher powers of the higher beings, ultimately of the highest being Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna, and by that arrange to fulfill their desires. So therefore, the key thing here to recognize is that we are actually working for, we have to do our work, but we do our work in the spirit of sacrifice, and we do sacrifice separately. And this is a whole subtle mechanism that has been created by which we can actually learn to acquire the higher truths. We can learn to acquire not just the higher truths, get faith in the higher truth of the subtler mechanisms in the cosmos, but also gain access to our necessities through the mechanism of yajna. So, by when we perform a yajna for a particular devta, or when we perform a yajna for a particular particular purpose, then that devta and that purpose are fulfilled by the higher arrangements of the universe. How we can understand those higher arrangements in our contemporary terms, we'll discuss in our next talk, future talks. Thank you.